welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress, the people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, a new way to keep up with WordPress news and updates. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Damon Cook. Damon has been a developer in the WordPress ecosystem for over a decade, working with WordPress-centric agencies and, more recently, running his own freelance business, Noma Digital. He's a long-time community member, contributor, and someone who remains keenly engaged with the latest WordPress developments, from releases like 7.1 to shifts in plugins, themes, and the broader WordPress landscape. Damon joins us today to discuss WP Trend Watcher, an open source tool he's created to help WordPress professionals keep up with the ever-increasing deluge of news, community updates, and feature releases. As the WordPress space grows more dynamic, and let's be honest, sometimes a bit overwhelming, WP Trend Watcher is designed to sift through a firehose of RSS feeds, summarize the trends, and inject some much-needed human curation into AI-generated content. Damon talks about the importance of staying ahead in the WordPress ecosystem, especially for freelancers, agency owners, and developers who want to anticipate changes and support their clients. He gets into the technical nuts and bolts, breaking down how the tool gathers and summarizes news, the models and local AI setup he's experimented with, and the balance between automation and critical human review. If you're someone who struggles to keep up with the relentless pace of WordPress news and wants a smarter way to separate the worthwhile updates from the dross, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Damon Cook. I am joined on the podcast by Damon Cook. Hello, Damon.
Hi, Nathan. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. Damon and I had a chat at WordCamp US. I think you said a little while ago that it was in 2024. So it's been a few years since we've had a chat. And there's been a few pivots in your life. At the time, you were working for a hosting company, which I don't think you are doing anymore. But we're going to have a chat today about something which caught my attention, probably on social media, I imagine. I saw it there. It's called WP Trend Watcher. I would just say at the beginning, before we get stuck into the topic, if you go to the WP Tavern website, I will bury all of the links in the show notes. So anything that we discover today, go and click on the links over there. And actually, given the nature of the topic, it might be wise, dear listener, to go and do that before you get into this podcast, because it'll be fun to have a poke around and be forewarned as to what is it that we're going to be looking at. So anyway, Damon, thank you for joining us again. Just before we begin, I mentioned that you have changed roles in the last 24 months or so. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about you and your roles in WordPress over these many years?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been a developer in the WordPress ecosystem for over a decade and always been with WordPress-centric agencies. And yeah, as of the past year about, I've just been running my own freelance Noma Digital and then also doing some contract work. And yeah, and still keeping up on all the latest WordPress news and features coming out. 7.1, what is coming out in, well, yeah, in like a week, I think. So
yes.
Yeah. Lots of cool stuff there. So
yeah, there really is a lot happening. Genuinely, there is a lot happening in the WordPress space. And, you know, it may be that you're a developer and so that side of things captures your attention. But from my perspective, I'm not really a developer, but I am curious about all the things that are going on because I'm fascinated by core and plugins and themes and blocks and all of that. But equally, you know, the community side and all of that, there's a whole load going on and events and marketing and loads going on. But that deluge of information, that sort of fire hose, is kind of very hard to keep a track of. Some websites that were publishing for many, many years die out, and other ones replace them, and things come at you from different angles. And so you have built a tool, WP Trend Watcher, which you're able to put on your local machine. I believe that's right at the moment. It's a sort of local install, and we can talk about the technicalities of that in a moment. But this tool, the way that you've built it, is primarily kind of pre-built, if you like, to go out and inspect the WordPress space so that you can sort of summarize the zeitgeist, I guess, of what's going on in the WordPress world. You know, you can keep up without having to do that manual slog of going out, reading everything, spending hours every day kind of wasting time. And I'm doing air quotes there, if you know what I mean. Okay, so my first question is revolving around the why of this. Like, what was the importance here that you felt that you wanted a tool that did this for you? And really what I'm trying to get there is, why did you feel it was important to keep up with the WordPress space? Is, you know, if you're a client, if you've got relationships with clients and you're building client websites, is it not enough in your scenario just to know that WordPress drops? They, you know, they do a version change every now and again. We get a release. I've got a suite of plugins. I probably need to keep up to date with those. Why? Why are you interested in the broader landscape?
Sure. Yeah. I was pretty active contributor for a while to the project. Not so much lately, but when I was a contributor, there's always been a lot of news to keep up with between Slack and Track and the WordPress.org stuff. But I started to see some of what were the reliable sources in that area. And as I work with WordPress daily, I still need to keep up with, you know, what is coming down the pipeline. And so, yeah, I just wanted to take that, you know, it was very kind of a selfish starting point. You know, I needed to take all these RSS feeds, get them summarized, but then also verify that, you know, what's being summarized with AI isn't just hallucinations or some kind of, you know, mistrust was there, because that's kind of a critical component to this project, was just the human layer. It's just pulling in a bunch of RSS feeds, summarizing it, and then, you know, I go through and make sure the summaries and click through it, like a lot of the stuff, and read it. And it's helpful for me to process and see what's actually going on and then provide my own judgment on it. So
the sort of curious bit there then, I suppose, is that it feels like you always want to be one step ahead of what's happening in the WordPress space. And I suppose if you're being a freelancer, having that knowledge of what's coming up, particularly in WordPress and WordPress core, because I've noticed that a lot of the RSS feeds, for want of a better word, and we'll get into that in a moment, are core related.
Yeah.
And so that then sort of tells me, I guess, that you want to be ahead of what's coming in the next feature set so that you can, I don't know, forewarn your clients or practice things that you know are going to suddenly drop on a particular day of the year. And so that when the inevitable call comes, why is this there now? And how does this new feature work? You're ahead of it all. Does that kind of summarize your interest in it? Or is it more eclectic than that? You know, you're just curious about it because it's curious.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's certainly a curiosity is there. But yes, I do like to be at the bleeding edge of what is coming down in the new, like, for example, the 7.1 release coming out. Just seeing what's being worked on, what might have gotten dropped from, you know, proposals. And yeah, and just, I guess, being kind of in the ecosystem, I've seen how a lot of the community has come and gone and what has been, you know, critically talked about is what is a critical feature and, you know, why might something not be worked on and all that stuff. So yeah, it's just a selfish way to keep up on the latest developer news and share it out and summarize it and get some human judgment behind it.
A curious thing, which is not related to this podcast, but most Mondays I do like a live show in which we have three or four panelists and we bat around the WordPress news from the previous 7 days.
Yep.
And I've been doing that show for, oh, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years or something like that. And and in the sort of the week preceding, I go around the internet, I look at social networks, I read the blogs that I'm familiar with. I've got a giant list of RSS URLs in a feed reader, and I go through and I read them and I look at them all. And it genuinely is incredibly time inefficient. That is to say that I open things, get halfway through, realize there's nothing really for me to talk about here with my guests, and there's probably nothing for the listeners to engage with. And so I lose a lot of time doing that exercise. And it strikes me that in the era of AI, that would be the intention here, is to sort of cut out that, you know, sort of cut through the dross, sift out the bits and pieces that are of interest, and make the bits that finally reach your eyeballs worthy of attention. How have you orchestrated that to happen? Because with the best will in the world, I think we all know that AI can sort of go off the rails a little bit. It may be that it doesn't quite match the intentions that you would wish it to have. How are you corralling it to be what it is that you want?
Sure. Like I alluded to, it just stemmed from a selfish kind of interest in keeping up on these news sources. And I knew a lot of them all had RSS feeds. I think that even I, you know, I have a fascination and obsession almost with AI these days, and I'm always trying some cutting edge stuff and tinkering. But I think even myself, and I think I see a lot of people confuse AI with automation. And so it's interesting to see, like this project, you know, I didn't want to automate the whole thing, like just go get RSS feeds, AI summarizes, AI publishes, just do it, right? Which I can't, you know, we could potentially do with a project, but, you know, I kind of limited it to that contract of go get these RSS feeds, the latest news, come back, summarize them, and then show them to me so I can audit them. A lot of them, you know, I just open up like yourself. It seems counterproductive, but I actually, like, that's how I really keep up. Because if I just read, you know, the paragraph from the AI summary, you know, which I do, it's not really covering, it might miss something in that full article that actually really interested me. So, you know, I click through most of these and I'm reading, I peruse, I don't read every single word for sure, but I peruse and just try to validate that, you know, the summary matches. And then I look for tidbits that, you know, might have been missed that I'm curious about, and then kind of drop that in the human summary element of the published final briefing. So that's kind of the workflow of it right now. And That's kind of how I've set it up. And I enjoy the sequential part of like gathering. And then it kind of, there is an automation of it, shows me everything I gathered, and then, you know, gives me an area to write my thoughts. And then I, you know, click through everything. So yeah, it's just it's turned into a weekly kind of hobby project, and it's fun to do. So
yeah, so the bit that is infuriating to me is just the dead time, and the dead time for me is not once I've found the link. That for me is when it actually becomes interesting. You know, you click the link, you open it, and you do the reading and what have you. It's finding the link and finding the interesting thing. Yep. And so I think it is totally credible to get AI to do that. And I have this, I'm not a great user of AI. That is to say, I'm not a, you know, somebody that uses AI an awful lot, but it's becoming pretty clear to me that one of the areas which it genuinely is good at is curating like a silo of information. Yes. You know, you give it a body of information, a corpus of information, and say, summarize that or draw out of that the bits that might be of interest. Now, it's not perfect, but it seems to be exceedingly good at that. The creative side, maybe less so, and we don't really need to get too much into that. But this bit of drop the corpus of information in, summarize that, publish your results, that seems like a really credible way of using AI in the year 2026. And that is indeed what you've done. So now that you've got this built, and I will link to report, so you can see Damon's previous, I think you've got like 7 or 6 or something like that, ones from previous weeks up, and you can see them all. It basically ends up in a bullet pointed numbered list of titles with links, and then maybe one sentence of about 20 words following on from that, and then that will obviously either lead to a click or not. How have you found those summaries to be, you know, the 20 or so that you've got in each of your little editions? How have you found them to be? Do they seemingly accurately represent what's contained within, or does it tend to go off the rails a bit?
No, they're accurate. And I mean, the key kind of component there is, you know, when the summaries happen, you know, it's using I set it up because I wanted to use local models. It's all prompt based. So essentially, you know, it's going to these RSS feeds, getting, you know, the latest articles and links, and then parsing that through AI and saying, and passing a prompt along saying, you know, summarize this for developers and agency owners with a critical eye on, you know, XYZ. And so that's where things do actually come back pretty accurate. And the kind of the inference of what the summary shows, it's fascinating, but yeah, it's pretty accurate. And
yeah,
and the fun part is trying to prove it, you know, like to see like, right, okay, yeah, wow, that sounds like it, you know, it would interest me as a developer and agency owner. I'm going to click and kind of read through and make sure that that's, you know, an actual thing and not hallucination. So it's kind of like a game of just fact checking in a way.
I'm curious to know what it doesn't include. So, for example, the addition, I'm going to call it an addition. I don't know. Oh, summary. There we go. Yeah. Weekly summary is what you've called it. This particular one has 19 items listed. And I don't know if it produced 19 different things and all of them got written to the page, or if, I don't know if you can see in the background, well, 34 just didn't cut the mustard. Can you inspect what didn't get included and thereby start to have intuitions as, okay, I wonder why that one didn't cut the mustard?
Yeah, there is sort of a built-in for the AI to, when it does a review, you know, it checks sources and it looks for duplicate two kind of posts on two different sites about the, you know, the same exact topic. It's going to try to not do a summary on both of those. But,
okay,
you know, so it does check for duplicates, weak language, missing sections. So it does do some of that to cut out the duplicate work. But also, yeah, it's not looking like part of the prompt and part of the exercise for AI is to not look for superfluous, I guess, just like really fact-based deterministic stuff,
right,
and not just,
right,
like, you know, it's funny because trend is in the title, right? WP Trend Watcher.
Right.
And
which is kind maybe of the exact, like, opposite of what you're,
yeah, asking. It's kind of like, it's not really looking for what's popular, but kind,
yeah,
of what is factual coming out of,
right,
you know, a lot,
right,
of these sources. So,
okay. When you are looking at this, this is a strange question, and I don't know how you're going to react to this. How does it make you feel? Like, do you have the intention that you're cheating on the,
oh, yes,
on
absolutely,
the, you know, the Damon from 5 years ago would have thought, oh, this is horrific. You know, somebody did all this with a computer. This should be done by a human being, should be corralling this. How does it make you feel on that level?
Oh, yeah, it does make me feel cheap and cheating.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, you know, why I published these, is trying to be transparent. So if anybody's gonna go and read this, they know that, you know, I even put at the bottom how much time, you know, I spent trying to look through everything. So you can take all those facts and base whether you want to read this or not.
Right, right.
You know, did, yeah, he spend enough to, like, you know, you can pass your own judgment. Did he spend enough time? Maybe he should have spent more time, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's part of the exercise for me, is making this open source and just having this public. And so if folks do find it fascinating and helpful, they could even fork it and try to do something else. Or I even have, you know, the possibility to submit sources, because, you know, I'm always kind of thinking, like, should I have another source in here? Or,
yes.
So
yes,
there's room for improvement.
Well, the issue there is you end up with scope creep, don't you? And before you,
yes,
know it, you've got 5,000 RSS feeds that you're
yes,
bumbling everywhere. And
right,
then you really are in a maze of trying to figure out what's relevant and what's useful.
Yep.
But the report that you get on the front end, obviously, you know, you've got these AI generated, the numbered list, in this case, mm-hmm, 19, the one that I'm looking at. Again, links will be in the show notes. But then the interface that you built provides the option then to add sort of human notes, I guess, for want of a better word, at the end. So it's not just a case of, okay, that's where it ends. The idea is then that you would go in, contribute for yourself what it is that you feel is important here, free form writing like we always used to do, and so on.
Yep.
Why did you include that bit? Why? What was the purpose in having that? Was it just a more human curated portion at the end? So you wanted to remember what you actually thought?
Yeah, I mean, it's twofold. You know, I wanted the human in the loop. It's a pretty phrase these days with AI, but I wanted that aspect there, but also selfishly like a game to fact check a lot of these things and make sure AI isn't hallucinating. Yeah. But also it's the exercise of memory of like going through and reading these things, because then I actually, you know, it registers in my brain, you know, like this is really what's coming down the pike. Because if I just read through the summaries, even if they were 100% accurate and I just trusted them out of the box, I feel like it doesn't necessarily always register for me. So the actually exercise of going and clicking and kind of reading through and comparing to what AI summarized is helpful for me to sink in that data, I guess.
I think if this were something that I was looking at, and I'm definitely not ruling out doing something like this, because I genuinely think there's a lot of merit in my specific case for this. I think I'd be looking at like four of those a day and just trying to, I don't know, at 9 a.m. just before the day begins, or at, you know, 5 p.m. just as the day's about to end. The work day, just go in and look at a few of those, because I'm like you, if I read the AI 20 word summary, there'd be no substance to that and I wouldn't remember it. But the fact that the interface is there and those articles have been surfaced, and I presume you could probably run one of these, you know, each day and adapt what was there the previous day and, yep, and what have you. So technically then, how does it work? I'm fairly sure that this is a thing which you have built and is currently sitting on a machine in your house somewhere.
Yep.
Just describe the technicalities of what you need to get, you know, on your machine to make this occur.
Yeah, it's a TypeScript code base and it's on GitHub. So you can fork it, contribute to it. But yeah, I mean, I run it. You can pass in kind of a flag. I run it weekly. It was just kind of an arbitrary decision and it felt like, you know, weekly would be good. But you can, yeah, it just checks basically the last date of the, when it ran, and then tries to grab the sources. And then I use LM Studio application on my Mac, which allows me to kind of download models that are fit for my system. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an 18 gigabyte memory that I can work with, so that is limiting. But I think a lot of these models are coming down in size, and the whole local AI movement, I guess, I don't know if it's the movement, but I think it's taking off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
A lot of more, yeah, local implications. So, you know, that was part of the exercise for me, was exploring that, what models I could use on my system, and then what were the results of using those models with this tool for the summaries. So, yeah, I think every week at the bottom, that's part of the report, is what model I used locally to run the summaries against. And I try to switch it up. I think I used probably like 6 of them. I used the same model. I think it was a Qwen model. And then the most recent one I used, I switched it up, and it was I forget the name even. It was like an LS.
These things come and go so fast.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the fascinating part, is just to drop in a new model and see how it does and what the summaries look like, because they do change. And even the report, I think you'll, if you just compare this week's with last, just the output is a little different. And I'm trying to, that's something I plan on kind of working more towards, is deterministic, you know, the output. Then, you know, the summaries are one thing, but then, you know, when it kind of outputs into the final report, you know, getting that more deterministic, especially I really want to have like footnotes so that people can see where these summaries and stuff are, what they're exactly they're linking to. It's kind of in there, but it doesn't always output exactly the same in formatting. So
you're doing this work on the local machine, and then obviously I'm looking at it, so it's published by the looks of it on GitHub. Is that all automated, or are you sort of curating that process, or have you got your local machine is bound to GitHub, your GitHub repository, and so this is all sort of automated in that sense as well? In other words, what I'm saying is, if you took a break for a month and came back, would this all just be chugging along in the background and producing these weekly reports, or is this something that you kind of manually invoke a weekly basis and, you know,
That's the part that, yes, I just run the report and write my judgment in it and then publish it to GitHub. And then GitHub does a little, you know, it takes basically the artifacts and just spits them out. But there's not much there in the automation on GitHub. It's just publishing it to GitHub pages. The fact that I have a section that's required for human in the loop kind of takes away full automation. You know, I could
right.
make it run, but then I would have to take that component out of me reading through, clicking through, and writing my own judgment at the end of the report. And I don't plan on getting rid of that. I actually enjoy that aspect. So
it's become a bit of an interface. The AI plus daemon equals yes. the finished product. You really don't want it to be automated. And in a way, that feels to me a bit like, I don't know, a race to the bottom. If we automate all the things, I just don't know where the audience for that lives, because you'll never really know, because there'll never be a moment where you look back at it and say, is anybody reading this? You know, has anybody talked to me about this and what have you? Whereas the fact that you're interested in it, you know, you're on this podcast talking about it, you've got an interest in the subject matter, you've clearly engaged with it. I don't really have a question there, but there's definitely something there. The fact that you're in the weeds of it and it's not just AI for AI's sake, I think is important.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, that's a great point. And I think that makes me, I don't know, I guess go back to, I guess, you know, where some of this started from. Yeah, I think people are creating their own knowledge bases.
Oh, yeah.
And you even touched on this. I mean, just having that corpus of artifacts, a lot of that, like, you know, AI can do these days, and you can automate some of that. But, you know, how you take all that data and get the human in the loop, and is it even interesting if you, it's interesting maybe to you to read, but if you want to share that, you know, is it going to interest others? And yeah, the human aspect is kind of critical for me there, because especially if you're going to share it publicly, you know,
yeah,
at least be transparent.
Yeah. So you've called it WP Trend Watcher. And it feels to me, if I was to rewind the clock to, I don't know, 2023, where for the first time we were all beguiled when ChatGPT came along and we all just thought this whole interface was remarkable. But it kind of felt, oh, you know, it's novel, it's interesting, it behaves in many ways, it's a bit, I don't know, passed the Turing test and it convinced us that it was human. Mm-hmm. But now that we're in the year 2026, it kind of feels like one of AI's central roles is just, as I said earlier, these corpses of information, but not finite in the way that a human brain is. You know, there's only a capacity that I have to remember so much, and it's alarmingly little. Yeah. But over time, if you were to stick with this endeavor, the name that you've given it, you know, this sort of trend watcher, it feels like the data that you're gathering, as it grows and grows and grows, and the AI's capacity to manipulate, understand, I'm doing air quotes, understand and create meaning from the disparate bits of data, that will grow over time. And so it'd be interesting in, you know, 2027 and 2028, what happened? You know, why did that bit never got built, and how did we get this thing shipped into core? Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? You know, what were all the little bits and pieces? Where were the jigsaw pieces that led that to happen, and how did this happen, and what's the market trend? Why have we got, you know, a 4% decrease or an 8% increase in market share? How's all that happened? So it feels to me as if you keep pushing this out, that kind of information will be available, kind of MCP-able, by simply asking it questions in a way that we've never had available to us in the past. Again, there's no question, but do you know what I'm saying there?
Yeah. I think, I mean, when I set out to build this, there is still a component where I do want to have kind of the trend watching part of taking these past reports and having AI review them and come up with, you know, inference of, was there a trend? Why did we go from report 1 to report 18 about this? You know, maybe there's this feature in WordPress 7, whatever. What changed there? And kind of come up with a separate component for that. I haven't built that in, but that's kind of a potential. That's always kind of the, I guess, the end goal. And keeping these receipts for now and generating these reports is kind of just the scaffolding in a way.
So it feels to me as if it really isn't bound to WordPress. You know, you could run with what you've built and point it at just about any industry or thing. You know, your local tennis club or, you know, whatever it may be. You could over time build up this sort of trend analysis and see what's going on. And dare I say it, you could even implement it upon yourself so that you can see, you know, what's the cadence of my writing? How have I done with my Fitbit data or whatever it may be?
Yep.
You can see that even as I'm saying the words, I'm thinking, oh, this is a dystopia that I don't want to live in. But at the same time, I'm really curious as to what that bigger capacity to maintain state and hold data over time, what that will furnish us with, because we all forget things. You know, our brains are very ephemeral. Things that are important to us come and go. We misremember things constantly. And it will be really interesting to see what things like you've built are going to enable us in the future. And it does seem like this is baby steps. The humans in 2029, looking back on the work like you've just been talking about for the last half an hour, will think, oh, that was cute. But look where we got to now. We stood on the shoulders of those giants, and here we are now. It's fascinating and terrifying in equal measure. Let's say it that way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much data, and it's just growing, right? It's going to get worse before it gets better. And so,
yes. Well, it'll be very interesting to see how it all lands. But what I would encourage everybody to do, I'm going to link to at least three things. I will link to the GitHub repository, which is obviously a Damon's GitHub account. It's colorful-tones. And then this is called WP Trend Watcher. I'll also link to damonacook.com, where there is a blog post about how you can get up and running and what the necessary steps are for you to do that. But I will also link to the sort of output, which is, again, it's a GitHub repository, but you can go and see the weekly summaries and what have you, and judge for yourself whether or not this is something that you want to install on your local machine. I think the inevitable is going to be that there's going to be more and more of this in our lives. It remains to be seen whether we have the time to actually interact with the data that it puts out, or we'll need another layer of AI to cope with the level of AI that we've got, if you know what I mean. It'll be wheels within wheels. So there you go. Anything you want to add? Did I miss anything there before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, the only thing, just, you know, I'm colorful-tones. Actually, it might not be with it. It might not have the hyphen, but on X, and then on, you know, on LinkedIn, I try to just share the report out weekly on there just for folks to keep up. But that's about it.
Lovely. Well, in that case, I will endeavor to find your Twitter or X handle and various other bits and pieces. And wptavern.com, if you search for the episode with Damon Cook, it's spelt in the way that you might imagine, Damon Cook, COOK. Search for that. And thank you so much for chatting to me today. And bravo for a topic which I think I'm going to be leveraging very much for my WordPress news cycle.
We can get that, get some RSS feeds, and we can get you hooked up, and you can start generating some other reports on.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, let's have a chat after we click stop in a moment. Okay. Damon Cook, thanks so much for chatting to me today.
Thanks.